Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Thank you. comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna to the Son of David.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ our Lord,
who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the Sunday of the Passion is from Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You hold my right hand, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory.
Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart.
The epistle is from Philippians chapter 2. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. Matthew, the evangelist. You may be seated.
When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples,
"You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified."
Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and planned together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said,
"Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people."
Now when Jesus was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment. And she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. When the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying,
"Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor."
But Jesus, aware of this, said to them,
"Why do you trouble this woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her."
Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said,
"What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?"
And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying,
"Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?"
He said,
"Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'"
And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at the table with the 12, and as they were eating, he said,
"Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me."
And they were very sorrowful, and began to say to him one after another,
"Is it I, Lord?"
He answered,
"He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born."
Judas, who would betray him, answered,
"Is it I, Rabbi?"
He said to him,
"You have said so."
Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said,
"Take, eat, this is my body."
And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying,
"Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee."
Peter answered him,
"Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away."
Jesus said to him,
"Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times.
Peter said to him,
"Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you."
And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
And taking with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them,
"My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me."
And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying,
"My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will."
And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter,
"So, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Again for the second time, he went away and prayed,
"My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done."
And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So, leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the 3rd time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them,
"Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and from the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying,
"The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him."
And he came up to Jesus at once and said,
"Greetings, Rabbi."
And he kissed him. Jesus said to him,
"Friend, do what you came to do."
Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
"Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?"
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
"Have you come out as against a robber, with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled."
Then all the disciples left him and fled. Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said,
"This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God, and to rebuild it.'"
And the high priest stood up and said,
"Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?"
But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him,
"I assure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God."
Jesus said to him,
"You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, and coming on the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his robes and said,
"He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?"
They answered,
"He deserves death."
Then they spit in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying,
"Prophesy to us in Christ. Who is it that struck you?"
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said,
"You also were with Jesus the Galilean."
But he denied it before them all, saying,
"I do not know what you mean."
And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders,
"This man was with Jesus of Nazareth."
And again he denied it with an oath,
"I do not know the man."
After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter,
"Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you."
Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and swear,
"I do not know the man."
And immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the saying of Jesus,
"Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times."
And he went out and wept bitterly. When the morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate the governor. Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying,
"I have sinned by betraying innocent blood."
They said,
"What is that to us? See to it yourself."
And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said,
"It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money."
So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore, the field has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying,
"And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me."
Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him,
Are you the King of the Jews?
Jesus said,
You have said so.
But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him,
Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?
But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted, and they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them,
Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?
For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him,
Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream.
Now the chief priests and elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them,
Which of the two do you want me to release for you?
And they said,
Barabbas.
Pilate said to them,
Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?
They all said,
Let him be crucified.
And he said,
Why? What evil has he done?
But they shouted all the more,
Let him be crucified.
So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying,
I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves.
And all the people answered,
His blood be on us and on our children.
Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying,
Hail, King of the Jews!
And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying,
You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.
So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying,
He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God.
And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying,
Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani.
That is,
my God, why have you forsaken me?
And some of the bystanders hearing it said,
This man is calling Elijah.
And one of them at once ran and took a sponge and filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said,
Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him.
And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said,
"Truly, this was the Son of God."
There were also many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said,
"Sir, we remember how that impostor said, 'While he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people, 'He has risen from the dead,' and the last fraud will be worse than the first."
Pilate said to them,
"You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can."
So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard.
This is the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew, the Evangelist. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus Christ enters into Jerusalem humble and mounted on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is his way. He entered our world in human flesh, humbly and hidden from the virginal womb of a lowly handmaid. He lived for 30-some years in relative obscurity in a nowhere town named Nazareth. And even when he embarks on his public ministry, he humbles himself throughout, having nowhere to lay his head, putting the wants and needs of others always ahead of his own, never wavering in his love toward his Father in heaven or his love for the sinners he came to save. And he is humble to the end, humbling himself even unto death on a cross. This, dear Christian pilgrims, is the way of your Savior, Jesus Christ. Humility and love. The humility to lay aside his eternal glory and take on our mortal nature so that he would have flesh and blood to give in our place. The love for his fallen creation so deep that he would subject himself to the torture and wrath and punishment sinners deserve, not him. Humility and love so beyond anything we can possibly fathom that he would be the unblemished, innocent, sinless Lamb of God who goes uncomplaining forth to the mocking and the spitting and the scourging and the thorning and the nailing. Humility and love is the way of your Savior, Jesus Christ. The question for today is it your way? It's a great question to grapple with on this last Sunday in Lent, this holy season in which we are called upon to examine ourselves in light of God's holy law and to repent. Loving God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, with all your strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself, these are the commandments of God. And they can be summed up as saying, be humble and loving. In fact, this is exactly what our Apostle Paul teaches us in Philippians. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Just imagine how that sounds in modern ears. For it flies in the face of everything taught by culture and pop psychology today. It's said in our culture and by pop psychology that you need to love yourself. This is actually a big deal. Loving yourself is the foundation for which you can maybe, if you so choose, love others. Look out for number one. Nobody's going to look out for you, so you need to take care of yourself. And you need to do whatever it is that makes you happy. And by the way, whatever it is that makes you happy is perfectly good and legitimate. And nobody can say it's wrong. This is the way the world looks at things. This is the character and the formation that the Lord would have you be formed into. But you are not of this world. You are Christians called out of this world and into the marvelous light of Christ. You are called out of the world, and you are exhorted to not conform yourself to this dead and dying world and its ways. The palms you processed in with this morning are not only a reminder of Palm Sunday, the day that our Lord entered Jerusalem, but they are a reminder to you that you are pilgrims, that you are pilgrims here in this dead and dying world, that you are only visiting, sojourning, on your way to the promised land in Christ's kingdom. That's who you are called to be, a Christian. And yet, if you truly grapple with the question of whether or not humility and love is your way, you will have to admit that all too often it's not. Who among you never does anything from selfish ambition or conceit? Who among you always counts others more significant than yourselves? Who among you looks not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others? Not sometimes, not occasionally, not once in a while, and not just to those you know and love, but always to everyone. So that selfless humility and love is an accurate summary of your entire character and behavior day in and day out. Who among you can it be said that is true? But what if we take it even a bit further, dear friends? What if the question was not just, is humility and love your way, but is humility and love toward your enemies, toward those you don't like, your way? Or how about this? Think of a political candidate you despise. It should be easy to do. They're in your face every day right now. Picture that political candidate, whomever he or she may be, the one you think is the most evil, vile person ever to walk the face of the earth, the one who, if elected, will bring the whole world to a sure end. Of this, you're sure. Think of that political candidate and ask that question. Would you be humble and loving to him or her? Would you count him or her more significant than yourself? Would you see to his or her needs if you had the opportunity? Would you lay down your life for that despised political candidate? After all, that is the radical nature of the gospel. For this is what Jesus came to do and what Jesus did. He rides into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, not just to humble himself unto death on the cross for his friends and loved ones, but, wonder of wonders, to give himself over to those who hated and despised him, and to lay down his life for all of their sins. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Father, forgive them for spitting in my face and mocking me and beating me and nailing me to this cross. Father, forgive them, for they are but sinners that you sent me to save. This kind of humility and love that shows no favoritism, that looks at all of his creation, all of his human creatures, and says, I love you all. Regardless of your sins, I came to die. I come to save you all. That kind of humility and love, as I said before, is beyond anything that we can possibly fathom, but it is our Savior's way. And it is our only hope as the sinners that we are. God's love for us is shown in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. These three young men will be confirmed today, and they had to learn a lot the last couple of years, a lot of memory work, a lot of quizzes, a lot of goofing around too. And it's all of that is great. I'm glad that they learned all of that this morning. They demonstrated that they had a grasp of the questions that we asked, 150-some questions. Or at least that they memorized them enough to answer the questions. But what I have emphasized to them over and over again is this important, this nugget that overrules everything else. If they learn anything else from me, they need to learn this, that they are sinners who need a Savior. And that they have a Savior in Christ, and that that Savior comes to them, rides into the Jerusalem of his holy church, each and every time we are gathered here for divine service, rides into Jerusalem hiddenly and humbly on the gift, on the gifts of his words and on the gifts of his sacraments. Rides into the divine service each and every time we are gathered on the bread and wine, that he might give with that bread and wine his very life, his true body and blood given to us to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of our sins, the preservation of our faith, and life eternal. So is this humility and love that exhibited by your Savior your way, O Christian pilgrims? Yes, it is. For it is this humility and love into which you are drowned and raised at your baptism. You are not righteous in and of yourselves, but you are declared righteous for the sake of Christ. For we are justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You are not holy and blameless in and of yourselves, but you are holy and blameless in Christ. For Christ, your good shepherd, is also your bridegroom, who leads you into the wilderness, leads you out of the wilderness and into his church, where he prepares a table before you in the midst of your enemies of sin, death, and the devil. Come then as his bride, as sinners in need of mercy, and be fed by your Lord who comes to you today. For here he answers your cries of Hosanna, or save us now, by filling you with the fruits of his divine humility and love, so that you, O daughter of Zion, rejoice greatly, so that you, O daughter of Jerusalem, shout aloud. For you know that your King comes to you now, righteous and having salvation to give. Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Away from
Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You have been baptized and catechized in the Christian faith according to our Lord's bidding. Jesus said, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism?
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty?
Yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord?
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, for the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God?
I do.
Do you confess the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, drawn from the scriptures, as you have learned to know it from the small catechism, to be faithful and true?
I do.
Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the word of God, and in faith, word, and deed, to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it?
I do, by the grace of God.
We rejoice with thankful hearts that you have been baptized and have received the teaching of the Lord. You have confessed the faith and been absolved of your sins. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his blessed sacrament, he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jack Sidney Lessinger. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Your confirmation verse is John 19:30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Zane Michael Luplo. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Your confirmation text is Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Noah Michael Cross. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting.
Amen.
Your confirmation text is Psalm 18:39. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful Father, in the waters of holy baptism, you have united your children in the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, cleansing them by his blood. Renew in them the gift of your Holy Spirit, that they may live in daily contrition and repentance with a faith that ever clings to their Savior. Deliver them from the power of Satan, and preserve them from false and dangerous doctrines, that they may remain faithful in hearing Christ's word and receiving his body and blood. By the Lord's Supper, strengthen them to believe that no one can make satisfaction for sin but Christ alone. Enable them to find joy and comfort only in him, learning from this sacrament to love you and their neighbor and to bear their cross with patience and joy until the day of the resurrection of their bodies to life immortal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Receive these gifts from your brothers and sisters in Christ at Peace Lutheran Church to mark this occasion and to remind you of your confirmation in our congregation. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Prayer response is, let us pray to the Lord, Lord have mercy. It's different than what's in the bulletin. For all the people in our congregation this day, that as Christ humbled himself and took on the form of a servant, so we would have the same mind as our Lord Jesus and receive grace in the hour of temptation, let us pray to the Lord,
Lord have mercy.
For the Holy Church, that in the hour of trial none would deny the Lord, take up arms or flee, but find all solace and joy at the cross of Jesus. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all kings, governors, and authorities in this world, that they would bring justice and liberty to this and every place, and help us to lead quiet and peaceful lives. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who are sick, lonely, troubled in mind or body, or grieving, those who are undergoing treatment, upcoming surgeries, or recovering from the same, and especially for all those who have requested our prayers, including Bill Harmon, David Gursky, Marlene Meyer, Billy Odie, Ella Shaw, Corrine Allenboss, Tom Allenboss, Scott McCollum, Landon Colt, Charles Shaw, Margaret Doobie, Lloyd Doobie, James Whiting, Maxine Cull, David Jerry Gerard, Sherry Schau, Pastor Dan Chambers, Sally Messer, Miriam Sohn, John Lemmerman, Brandy Bradley, Kimberly Tolk,
John Myers, Cheryl Myers, and Noah Truesdell. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who receive the New Testament in Christ's body and blood this day, that his blood would be on them for their forgiveness, life, and salvation, that they would be marked as children not for wrath, but for mercy and eternal life, and that on the strength of this beloved sacrament, they would come to the day of resurrection. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you emptied yourself and took on our nature, that you might present us to your Father as a holy people. Grant us this Holy Week to follow you in your passion. Where we stumble, lift us up. Where we are afraid, give us your joy. Be with us in the hour of death, and bring us through the grave to share in your redemption of our nature. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right.
Right and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, their life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Body of Christ given for you.
Christ,
given for you.
The very body of Christ. Thank you.
of this holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.